get this off with a two-minute warning. Little surprise. Foles back, throws. Intercepted! It went right through Jeffrey's hands! It's Lattimore!
They had it. They were so close. 20 yards away. Down 20-14. The Eagles had the ball back with 2 minutes left. In the Superdome against the number one seeded New Orleans Saints. And the ball goes right through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey, who had only two drops this season outside of that one. That's going to sting for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, the heartbreak is back. Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. It's Louis DiBiase joining you on the post-game show. The Eagles fall in the divisional round of the playoffs to the New Orleans Saints 20-14 in heartbreaking fashion. I'm sure none of you guys are feeling really too... I mean, you got to be feeling just like I am. This is a feeling that we haven't had, truthfully, since what, 2013 against the Saints? I mean, I don't know how many more heartbreaking Saints playoff losses we can do. I know we had 6 years to recover from the last one. We had a Super Bowl somewhere in there in 2017 to kind of make us forget about it. But you kind of go back and you remember the NFC title game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Rondé Barber interception, the Carolina Panthers NFC title game, the Cardinals in 2008, the heartbreaker in New Orleans in 2013. Even for me in 2010 against the Green Bay Packers with Michael Vick, I was really into that team. Vick underthrows Riley Cooper, Tremont Williams picks it off. Then this year, after winning a Super Bowl, you could taste it. You could feel the magic coming again for the Eagles. They were really that drive. They score a touchdown there, and I think they win that football game. And we're talking about on this post-game show on Lockdown Eagles, we're talking about the Eagles one game away from being in the Super Bowl for two straight years as they'd have to get through the L.A. Rams, who they beat just a couple weeks ago. This one it's tough to swallow. It really is. It's the first time we've felt a real heartbreak since 2013. You look at 2014, the Eagles missed the playoffs at 10-6. Chip Kelly overhauls the roster in 2015. They go 7-9. Nothing really to get too upset about during the season outside of, oh man, this team is in utter shambles. 2016, they go 7-9. A lot of close games there. And then, of course, last year, it was nothing but there was no trials last year. I mean, I shouldn't say that because of the injuries, of course, but when it comes to just results of the games, I mean, they went 13-3 in the regular season. Then they win two playoff games with a bye week, both at home. They play the Patriots in the Super Bowl and they win it all. Last year was just straight magic. Whereas this 2018 Eagles team, different. And we had to, this is going to be a long offseason, especially for Alshon Jeffrey. You got a feel for that guy. But the Eagles again fall 20-14. That, you know, it's funny. The older you get, that feeling never goes away. When, you know, I feel like right now as a 21-year-old Eagles fan, I feel as worse, and it bothers me as much as it did when I was, you know, a 15-year-old Eagles fan or when I was a 10-year-old Eagles fan. That feeling doesn't go away when you have such a strong bond with a team, and that's what you saw with these players, with these coaches, and with these fans. That you saw, just look at the face of Alshon Jeffrey on the sidelines and when he walked into the locker room. Look at the face of Zach Ertz putting his hand over his helmet. I mean, this is a moment that you're not going to forget ever. And it's not a good moment. It isn't. It's one that's going to bother you for a long time. But it's also, I think that there is a silver lining in these heartbreaking finishes. I think it makes you appreciate the team, everything, the journey, everything about what got you up to this point that allowed there to be heartbreak. It makes you appreciate it that much more. It shows how much fans, it shows how much the players and the coaches truly care. And that's what we saw today. They were so close again. Against one of the best teams in the league, the loudest stadium I've ever heard, you know, in a long time. And I'm watching it on TV, so I'm not there to truly witness the Superdome atmosphere. But man, that was the toughest environment the Eagles have maybe ever played in. I mean, last year, again, they had home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And then they got to play the Patriots on a neutral site. They didn't have to go to Gillette and play Tom Brady. They had to go to the Superdome and play probably the team, the best overall team in football this year through 16 weeks of the regular season and then this playoffs. That was probably the best team in the league. And yet they have an opportunity, with all the injuries that happened, not just throughout the season, but in this game. This game really represented 2018 to a T for the Philadelphia Eagles. The adversity they had to overcome to get back into this football game. Again, against in the toughest environment Nick Foles and this Eagles team has truly ever been tested in. Against Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. If he wins this ring, he should be right there. He owns a ton of passing records. He would have two Super Bowl rings if he wins it all. The Eagles go in and nearly beat him. Coming off a lot of rest, they had the bye week, and the Eagles almost go in there and they play upset once again. They had a chance with 2 minutes left. It just, you know, the magic never seemed like it was going to run out. Anytime it felt like the season was over this year, it just kept turning around. When you think about the collapses early in the season, when we're talking about the Carolina game and the Tennessee game, right? Giving up fourth and long plays. Those two games cost you wins, cost you the NFC East title, cost you a home playoff game. The Carson Wentz injury, the injuries to literally every single cornerback on the roster to the point where they're playing Chandon Sullivan and Devontae Bosby, right? The just when it seems like they're getting back into it, they get to 500 against the Giants on Thursday Night Football, against the Jaguars in London. You seem like they're finally getting back on track. Then the Sunday Night Football game against Dallas pulls that from underneath you. Or the 48-7 blowout right there at the Superdome in New Orleans. It kept seeming like, and you heard it on the podcast, we kept saying, you know, we were seeing glimpses of this team's greatness from just a year ago. But then they go back into the form of the 2018 Eagles, and that changed. They wouldn't let that continue to spark. I mean, it was a roller coaster of a season, but they would not let this season die. Even to the point it's 6-7, right? That game in overtime where the Eagles fall to the Cowboys to go to 6-7, that really seemed like it was the season. Because nobody predicted the Eagles to beat the Rams, to beat the Texans, to beat Washington, to have the Bears beat Minnesota, and the Eagles get into the playoffs with that crazy scenario. If you listen back to that podcast, and I bring it up a lot on the show, because that really is when I thought the season was defined, was against Dallas. I'm so much more glad that this game is the heartbreak we had to suffer and not that game in Dallas. I'm so glad that the season didn't end in heartbreak in the regular season against the Dallas Cowboys. More so, we got an incredible journey all the way to the second round of the playoffs, 2 minutes away from the NFC Championship game. You can sniff it, and it's why this is so much more frustrating. But it's really hard to get mad at how this Eagles team overcame every obstacle this season. And you gotta feel for Alshon Jeffrey. He is the epitome of clutch. Don't let this catch is not going to define him. Doug Peterson even said that's what he told him. It went right through his hands. Yeah, it's on him. It went right through his hands, right through the triangle you form with your two hands when you've been coached all your life how to have a proper technique to catch a football. It went right through there and into the chest of Marshawn Lattimore. And the Eagles fell. But you got to feel for him because Alshon Jeffrey is one of the main reasons this Eagles team was even in the playoffs. Talk about the performance in LA against the Rams to start this run. Or against Houston, that third and long, to keep the drive alive, to get Jake Elliott in field goal range to win that football game against the Texans. If Alshon Jeffrey doesn't catch that incredible contested pass across the middle against the Texans on that final drive, the Eagles aren't even in this game. He doesn't even have an opportunity to make the play against the Saints. He has come through in so many big moments in just 2 years as a Philadelphia Eagle. He is one of the most big-time performers in Eagles history already, especially at the receiver position. I've never seen a guy rise to the moment more than Alshon, and it's why I know he's going to come back from this. It's man, I never truly experienced it as an athlete. I don't know what he's going through, but you saw the raw emotion on his face. You saw how much his teammates loved him. You got to love the bond that this team has. You got to love seeing Nick Foles immediately go to Alshon Jeffrey, who sprawled out on the field with his head in the turf. Nick Foles goes to pick him up. Nick Foles, a dude that's very well-rounded and very well-experienced in the ups and downs of a football career. You see Doug Peterson consoling him on the sidelines. This team had Alshon Jeffrey's back right after, and you couldn't be more proud to be an Eagles fan witnessing all of that. Because Alshon Jeffrey deserves more than that drop. Another game where he had 60-plus receiving yards in a playoff game, you just look back to it, his 2 years in Philadelphia as a playoff performer. He had 219 yards in three games last year in the playoffs with three touchdowns. He averaged 73 yards a game. And then in two games this year in the playoffs, he averaged 82 yards a game. Or I'm sorry, that can't be right. He had 82 yards last game, 63 in this one. So he passed 60 yards in both games in the 2018 playoffs. You saw the touchdown in the Super Bowl. Alshon Jeffrey is a clutch performer. He is a wide receiver one. That argument is done for. Alshon Jeffrey is the face of this receiving core. He came through in a season where he wasn't getting targeted enough. With the health of Carson Wentz in the middle of the season, with the emergence of Zach Ertz on a historic level, with the play calling, Alshon Jeffrey kind of got lost in the shuffle in the middle of the season. His targets went down by a significant margin this year, and yet he still surpassed his 2017 numbers, and he was part of one of the greatest runs I've seen as an Eagles fan into the postseason. This wasn't the magical run of 2017, but the 2018 Eagles team is going to be one of my favorites. And a lot of it has to do with Alshon Jeffrey. I'm still not getting over seeing the devastation on his face. You know, it was really tough seeing Brandon Graham emotional after the game. There was a video trending on Twitter of Brandon Graham meeting with some of the guys from the media, hugging some people before he went into the locker room. I don't know what Brandon Graham's future is. He's a free agent this year. He's going to test the market. He's going to try to get paid. He deserves it. Had another strip sack today against Drew Brees. Really picked up his play like most of the Eagles did in the second half of the season. I hope this wasn't the last time we see him in an Eagles uniform, but it could have been. And Brandon Graham, I personally, Brandon Graham's one of my favorites because it's so cool to see some of these players that have been with the team so long that have gone through so many different regimes with the organization and see it come to fruition with the Doug Peterson era. To see Brandon Graham be able to make the most important play in franchise history against the Patriots, a strip sack, the next year to make a run into the second round once again. To see a guy that was with the team from 2010 up until 2019 for 9 years. To see a guy that went through the Chip Kelly era when he was moved to outside linebacker where he really wasn't a fit. A guy that was mostly a rotational player. To go from that to an all-pro defensive end that's been top in the league when it comes to QB pressures, QB hits, hurries. He's been one of the most consistent pass rushers in football in the past, you know, 3-4 years. And it's awesome to see him have the success he has had with the Eagles the past couple years. That's why I love seeing Brent Celek finally win a Super Bowl with the Eagles last year. And it was awesome to see Jason Peters this year be able to be on the field and witness Eagles playoff success. Because last year, yeah, it was cool that he was with the organization to get a Super Bowl ring since he's been with the team since 2008. His first year right after the NFC title game. He's been with the team for a very long time, much like Brandon Graham and Brent Celek before he retired. And it's devastating seeing that could be the last time we see Jason Peters in an Eagles uniform or Brandon Graham or Nick Foles. Those guys have done so much for the organization that, man, you thought the magic was never going to run out. I mean, finally to that another missed field goal. I mean, I'm just sitting there on the couch laughing as the Saints missed that 53-yard field goal and the Eagles got the ball again with a little over 2 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. This is something you write if you're writing a sports movie. In the script, the Philadelphia Eagles of the past 2 years, it seems like a movie. And finally, you keep waiting for it all to be like, all right, it's finally over. Rasul Douglas, he tips it up in the air right to Amari Cooper, touchdown. All right, 6-7. That's about it. Or then they beat the Giants and the Redskins, and you're like, hold the phone. You know, before that, and you're like, hold the phone. The Eagles have a chance. Or you beat the Rams and the Texans, but the Bears seemingly could pull their starters in the second half. And then, they beat the Redskins. They won. They did their job, went all three straight. But they're not going to make the postseason. Or, Cody Parkey, all he's got to do is make a 42-yard field goal. and the Eagles lose in the wild card round. It would have been fun. Yeah, that's cool. At least they made the wild card. No, it kept going. The magic kept going. It did not, and Nick Foles really represents that magic. But it was really just the entire Eagles organization, the entire team the past 2 years. Every time you thought the season was over, every time you thought this run, this golden era of Eagles football that we're witnessing the past 2 years, every time we thought it was coming to an end, finally, up until that missed field goal, it wouldn't run out. And then it finally did. Off again, I hate that it had to have been Alshon Jeffrey, because again, he has meant so much to this organization in 2 years. I mean, talk about an amazing free agent acquisition by Howie Roseman, bringing in Alshon Jeffrey. Thank God he didn't choose the longer term with Minnesota. When the Vikings offered him a multi-year contract in free agency, the Eagles offer him a one-year prove-it deal. Eventually, they award him with an extension. But at first, that wasn't the case. Alshon could have went with the security and went to play with, he would have had to go play with Sam Bradford in Minnesota. But the Eagles could have decided to really go all in on a reunion with DeSean Jackson and pay DeSean Jackson $12 million a year. But they brought in Alshon Jeffrey, and that was the best decision that they could have ever made. Not only for Carson Wentz and his development, not only for Doug Peterson and the ability to open up the playbook for play calling, but also for guys like Nick Foles that helped Nick Foles in the playoffs go on an absolute historic tear over a 2-year season. Basically, because, for me, I just kind of grouped these two seasons together because, the magic of 2017 is really carried over into this year. Yeah, there's been so many ups and downs, but the same magic that you felt last year when they beat the Falcons, when they held them on fourth and goal to win that football game at the end of regulation, blowing out Minnesota in the NFC title game, beating the best dynasty in football in the Patriots after taking a 33-32 lead. Normally any other team would just collapse against the Patriots in the second half of a Super Bowl. You saw it with the Falcons just a year before, and the Eagles with Nick Foles overcame that. And you saw them overcome so much again this year, and they were so close to keeping it going. Heartbreaking stuff. This is the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles fall to the Saints 20-14 at the Superdome. Their 2018-2019 season is officially over. Never thought it was going to end. It was a hell of a ride. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, get a little bit more into the game. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Eagles postgame show. The Eagles season finally comes to a heartbreaking end in New Orleans, 20-14. Yeah, I'm done with the Saints, man. I can't do any more Saints heartbreak. I know it's been 6 years since the last one, but it just both times Nick Foles drives down, puts the Eagles in scoring position. This time they can't score. Last time in 2013, Foles scored with Zach Ertz in the end zone, and the Saints drive down and kick the game-winning field goal. This time the Eagles went down with a little over 2 minutes to go, and I thought, hey, this might be the exact same scenario. The Eagles score with maybe 50 seconds left. The Saints have a chance to get their kicker in field goal range and win the game by 1 point again, just like 2013. And then the ball goes right through Alshon Jeffrey's hands. The huge positive in this, ladies and gentlemen, because I know it's tough right now because there was such high expectations for the Eagles this year. And although they took that away from you, it seemed like throughout the season, where the expectations were at that point, I don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs, they reinstilled that, at least in me, at the end of the season, right? The summer expectations of repeating as Super Bowl champions, that went away during the majority of the regular season. But they brought that back. They pumped that back into me in the fan base, in the media, in the team themselves. It pumped. They had that confidence back, that 2017 swagger. They pumped that back into the entire Eagles nation. And that's why it's devastating, because after beating the Bears, you thought they are destined to do this once again. With Nick Foles at quarterback, of course it is. Of course it's Nick Foles. Of course the underdog Eagles, the encore, they're the sixth seed. Of course they got to go on the road to beat the number one seeded New Orleans Saints. It seemed like it was meant to be. It wasn't, but the huge positive was that this team went this far. The team we saw down the stretch that beat two top teams in the LA Rams and the Houston Texans and another division opponent in Washington to make the playoffs, then beat the number one ranked defense on the road, then nearly take down the number one seed in the toughest environment they've played in a long time, that's the real Eagles. That's when we're talking about this 2018 Eagles team, you know, 3-4 years down the road. We're not going to talk about the struggles in the regular season as what defined this Eagles team. It really seemed like eventually, because it kept going back and forth, right? Kept going back and forth with who this team was, with their identity. We thought eventually, after that Cowboys game, that's who they were. This is how the season should end. And it wasn't. And it's I truly believe, some people may still say, they were more so what they were in the regular season than what they were in 2017. When we're talking about the identity of this year's team. I don't agree with that at all. I think this team we saw against the Saints, what we saw against the Bears, what we saw down the stretch, only losing one game in your last seven or six, winning five of your last six, and then winning a playoff game, winning six of your last seven games before this Saints loss, that's who this team truly was. That 48-7 blowout team in New Orleans, the Saints handled the Eagles 48-7, that to me wasn't who they were as a team. Not when you have your fifth and sixth string corners in, and Drew Brees is trying to pick you apart with the best receiver in football right now, and Michael Thomas, if you ask me. No, to me, this was the real Eagles. The Eagles lost this game as much as the Saints won. It was the bizarro 2018 Eagles. This team started off hot. They normally have not started off hot this year. They were up 14-0. A Cravion LeBlanc interception on the first play of the game gets the Eagles the ball. Nick Foles beautifully drives down the field, hits Jordan Matthews on a bomb. Then he gets a QB sneak for a touchdown. And you're just thinking to yourself, how is this actually happening? Because last game, the Saints, it just seemed like, were up 17-0 2 minutes into the game. And I'm being dramatic, of course, but that was the feeling. This time it was the Eagles, and it was bizarro. 2018 Philadelphia Eagles, because normally this year the team has started off slow on offense. They've kept it close, and then their offense picks it up in the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter. That's what we've seen so far this year. This team almost pulled it off. And you think about how close they were. Again, I feel like this team lost it almost as much as the Saints won it. The fake punt conversion for the Saints backed up around their own 30-yard line. What a bold call by Sean Payton to fake a punt. And Taysom Hill, who, man, I can't stand Taysom Hill. Dude almost caught a deep bomb on Avante Maddox. He almost threw for a touchdown on Alvin Kamara. Luckily, neither one of those plays actually happened. Avante Maddox was able to tip the ball away from Taysom Hill, and then the Kamara touchdown was called back. The gimmick was driving me crazy. It's just disrespectful. It's Sean Payton loves to rub it in defenses' faces with what he can do with this offense. Taysom Hill really represents that. And he gets the fake punt call, converts it. That really changed the tide of the game. And Brandon Graham on the strip sack of Drew Brees, having the ball slide up his chest, down his body, hitting the ground, the Saints are able to fall back on it. You know, I mean, if I had to take one strip sack being recovered, I guess I'll take the one in the Super Bowl with Derek Barnett jumping on Brandon Graham's strip sack. This time, Graham can't get so lucky. But you talk about those two plays. If they stop the fake punt, or they pick up that fumble, they could be up by 21 points. And then it's a totally different ballgame, and we're probably talking about the Eagles being in the NFC Championship game right now. Or the Foles interception. Another bad Foles pick put the Eagles in a tough spot. I'm not going to hate on Nick Foles today. We're going to get into the quarterback talk this week, because I feel like we have to now after this game. But Nick Foles, look, I'll never hate on a guy for taking chances down the field. And that's what Nick Foles, most of his interceptions have come from this year. And I'm not going to ever blame a guy for it. I'd much rather have him do that than have him be a Sam Bradford type that just throws a 3-yard swing pass on 3rd and 11. Much rather have Foles take the shots he has. But the underthrows today really put the Eagles in a hole. You know, you talk about, let's go to the one drive where Nick Foles hits Nelson Agholor down the middle of the field, but Agholor doesn't turn around. If Nelson Agholor turns around, he probably scores that touchdown. And again, we're talking about a different result of this ballgame. Or Foles underthrowing Golden Tate down the right sideline, overthrowing Jordan Matthews on that key third down late in the game. And then, of course, the Alshon drop. There were so many plays in this game, much like how the 2018 season has gone, where you say, man, if that play just goes the Eagles' way, they could have this football game won. When you think about it, the Saints only really started doing anything when the Eagles injuries happened. Like, let's talk about the injuries too. I just mentioned a bunch of the plays that changed the tide of this game. How about the injuries? I mean, the Saints have gotten really lucky that this Eagles team, that's right on par with the Saints. This Eagles team, again, this was who they truly are. They are an NFL power, not only an NFC power, but they are still one of the best teams in the NFL, and they should be next year. They should still be picked next year to win the NFC East and go deep into the postseason. Even with Carson Wentz at quarterback, I know he hasn't had any playoff experience yet, but a fully healthy Carson Wentz with this Eagles roster, with where they are, with about $30 million projected on open salary cap space, according to Joe Banner. It won't be the same team next year, but the majority of the core will be intact. This team is still a power in the NFL. And the Saints got really lucky that they got to play this team, number one, last game, with no health whatsoever on the Eagles roster. I mean, again, Sidney Jones got hurt in that game. Avante Maddox got hurt in that game. And Rasul Douglas got hurt in that game. Carson Wentz was playing on a fractured back. Golden Tate didn't know the playbook. Doug Peterson wasn't nearly the play caller then that he was at the end of the season. The Eagles didn't have an identity at that point. Everything was falling apart. The game got out of hand so quickly that they couldn't get back into it. And then the Saints were down 14-0 in this game. They get all the lucky bounces on the fake punt and on Brandon Graham not being able to pick up the fumble and on the Eagles just missing opportunities. And they also got lucky because the Eagles' injuries just started piling up again. I don't know what's in the water at the Superdome, but the injuries just seemed to mount up on the Eagles, especially in New Orleans, but just the majority of this season, it felt like when there was one injury, there was five, right? Brandon Brooks, it's reported he tore his Achilles. He even said it on Twitter. He announced it, that he's prepared to attack rehab, and that's devastating because Brandon Brooks is one of the most important players on this Eagles team. He has been for 3 years, and it's going to stink that we're probably not going to have him for the first couple weeks of the season next year, as a torn Achilles is about a 9 to 12-month recovery time. You know, we saw Sidney Jones didn't play all of 2017 because of a torn Achilles. That's huge for the Eagles. But Brandon Brooks gets carted off. You know, Michael Bennett was hurt at one point. Fletcher Cox was playing injured the entire game. Rasul Douglas got carted into the locker room at one point. Gave it a go for the brand. So proud of my guy, Rasul Douglas, sticking it out the second half of the game. Alshon Jeffrey was hurt. By the way, we talk about Alshon Jeffrey and how good of a playoff performer he is, and that it just kills us that it was him that dropped that pass. He was playing on broken ribs, according to Lane Johnson, who said after the game that Alshon Jeffrey, and he went to the locker room, Alshon was banged up, he was playing on broken ribs. I'm not discounting the drop by any means. It's more so to talk up just what Alshon Jeffrey truly means and what a warrior this guy is. That last year, he dominates in the playoffs, scoring two touchdowns in the NFC Championship game and one in the Super Bowl on a torn rotator cuff. Then this year, he has over 60 yards in back-to-back playoff games once again on broken ribs. I mean, talk about toughness. But then, I mean, you have all these injuries. That's when the Saints really picked it up, because before that, Drew Brees and this offense, they couldn't do anything. The Saints secondary, they had no answer for Golden Tate, for Nelson Aguilar, for Alshon, for Nick Foles. They could not stop Doug Peterson's play calling. You look at the creativity in the first half. We talk about the counter, Aguilar rolling to the right on the run that was similar to that Falcons run last year in the divisional round. The Eagles seemed like they had it all together, and the injuries just started piling it up. It was just, you know, the domino effect, right? You just see that big line of dominoes. When one falls, it just seemed like they were all. It was unreal, the amount of injuries. Brandon Graham was looked on at the sideline. They already were shorthanded in the secondary because Sidney Jones was inactive. So they're playing players that we've never even heard of at corner, covering Michael Thomas, who, again, I think is probably the best, if not the second or third best receiver in football. The Saints got really lucky again. I'm not discrediting them because they're the one seed for a reason. They could easily go and win the Super Bowl right now. They're going to be favored against the LA Rams, who they've already beat at the Superdome. They'll probably be favored over the Chiefs or the Patriots if they make the Super Bowl. But this Eagles team, again, if this Eagles team got the Saints next year, or right now, just rematch with at full health, I'm probably taking that Eagles team. Especially with guys stepping up like Cravion LeBlanc in the slot, Trayvon Hester, defensive tackle. You know, the depth, if you have those guys that don't have to carry the team, on defense? Because those are role players. I mean, Cravion LeBlanc, I love the guy. I don't know if they're going to be able to take him out of the starting lineup next year in the slot. And Trayvon Hester found him off the practice squad, was able to be a nice rotational defensive tackle with Tim Jernigan next to Fletcher Cox, ends up making the key play against the Bears in the playoff game yesterday or last week with the blocked field goal, and this week made some big plays. But if this team was fully healthy, and maybe if this game's in Philly, I mean, look, the Saints are cocky and they like to go after the Eagles. They're trolling them with the dreams and nightmares in the locker room. And I know they've been trolling the Eagles all year, which I'm not really sure why. I mean, I feel like if we were Minnesota, I would understand, because Minnesota's the one that beat them in the second round last year. Or maybe if they were Minnesota and they were going after the Eagles, I would understand. But they didn't even get to the NFC title game last year to play us. And I feel like they think this is almost just, you know, justice that, we would have beat them. I mean, Kamara says they would have beat the Eagles team last year in the NFC title game. I don't think so. At home, if the Eagles were at the Lincoln Financial Field today, they probably win that football game, because the noise, shout out to the Saints fans, they made it impossible for Nick Foles and that Eagles offense. The fans actually, I mean, normally I don't like to say like fans have a huge impact on the game. The fans had a huge impact on this game. But it doesn't mean that last year that the Saints team is a better football team than last year's Eagles team. Last year's Eagles team was unstoppable. No one could beat them. The best dynasty in football couldn't beat them. This year's team, this was an encouraging sign that through all of the adversity, through everything they had to deal with today, they were still able to have an opportunity to beat the number one ranked NFC team this year. With just a little over 2 minutes left, they score, they're probably winning that football game. It's got to make you feel good that this Eagles team at least convinced me, because I was worried in the middle of the season. You know, even up until that Rams game, I remember with the kickoff of the Rams game, I'm like, man, this was supposed to be a game of juggernauts in the NFC. This Eagles team and this Rams team, this was supposed to be a battle for years to come of Super Bowl juggernauts, an arms race in the NFC with those two teams and with the Saints. And then it seemed like the Eagles just weren't part of that group anymore. And they are. And I'm so glad they are, because it shows that last year wasn't just a one-and-done type of team, a championship-caliber team in the Philadelphia Eagles. This is something that's going to, this is sustained success. This isn't the Giants, right? That they, a 9-7 team falls into the playoffs, gets hot, beats the Patriots in the Super Bowl. It's a very similar situation with the Eagles. But this Eagles team, again, I know they were 9-7 and were the sixth seed, but they belonged in here. They were, roster-wise, outside of the Saints and the Rams, they were one of the, probably the most well-constructed roster in the NFL. It was those three teams. Even over the Patriots, if you ask anyone in the offseason, those are probably the three teams people are talking about as the juggernauts of the NFL. So I'm very encouraged by the loss. It's heartbreaking because of how it ended. But man, I'm glad that it ended like this and not in the regular season in Dallas or in LA or against Houston. Because remember, Houston took the lead and Nick Foles and the Eagles defied everything. They defied the odds once again and got Jake Elliott in field goal range to win that game. This season could have ended in so many different ways. And I'll take this. It's not satisfying because I wanted another Super Bowl. You could taste it. They teased it. It was right there. You know, they got back in that football game today. But I'm proud of this 2018 Eagles team. You got to feel pretty encouraged moving forward about the future of this organization and this Eagles team. I think this team is going to be good for years to come. And not just, again, wild card round good. They are closer to what the Saints are right now than what their record and what their playoff position showed. This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show. The Eagles fall in New Orleans 20-14. We'll take a quick break and we'll come in back and wrap up the show. A little Nick Foles talk. A little ode to Nick Foles, as this could have been his final game in Philadelphia. This is the Locked On Eagles post-game show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, the post-game show. Eagles fall in the divisional round of the playoffs, 20-14. Just want to say thank you to Nick Foles. This game wasn't pretty for Foles. He overthrew a couple key passes. He underthrew a bunch of key passes. He's a rhythm quarterback, could not find a rhythm late in the game. I thought early on he was sharp. I thought the entire offense was sharp. Then it just... he couldn't sustain it. He couldn't make plays outside of the system. When the pass rush got there, I thought he struggled. But this isn't the time for me to criticize Nick Foles. We're going to do it throughout the week. We're going to talk about the quarterbacks and the future at quarterback for this Eagles team. But, man, what another magical run this guy took us on. You know, Nick Foles was not a fan favorite of mine at the start of his career. I was so preoccupied with getting Marcus Mariota, you know, doing whatever it took to get Marcus Mariota in the 2015 draft that, you know, I just, even the 27-2 year, I didn't know what to believe with that. I didn't know how much of it was Chip Kelly and how much of it was Nick Foles, because the year before his rookie season, I didn't think anything of Nick Foles. I thought this was just a flyer that Andy Reid took in the third round to maybe save his job if he could strike gold. I thought he was just the consolation prize for missing out on Russell Wilson. But I got to say, with how his career has panned out, with the way everything went, going to St. Louis, flaming out there, mostly probably because of Jeff Fisher, now that you look back at it. And even before that, struggling with the Eagles in 2014, nearly retiring, being the Chiefs' backup, then coming back, winning a Super Bowl with this Eagles team. How many backup quarterbacks? I mean, with the team that the Eagles had last year, the expectations. A lot of guys would not be able to play under that type of pressure. And Nick Foles did it not only last year winning a championship, but he did it again this year. A team that seemed dead in the water at 6-7, he won four straight games to get them into the second round of the playoffs, helped them get into a position to be one drive away from making the NFC Championship game. He has a fan for life in me. I think they should retire Nick Foles' jersey when it's all said and done. I don't think another person should wear the number 9 in Philadelphia Eagles history. I'm glad it was him that ended this story of 2018, really. When you think about just 2018, the year, winning the Super Bowl in February in this awesome run in the 2018 regular season. Look, it was supposed to be Wentz's redemption year since it was taken from him last year. But I'm really glad that it was Foles that was able to help this Eagles team go on another run. Because this, I mean, it's probably, no matter what, it was going to be Nick Foles' final year with the Eagles. Even if he won the Super Bowl, I think they probably would have went with Carson Wentz. I'm glad he got to finish with this team what they started, really, last year and, you know, down the stretch this year. Because it was weird, you know? It was kind of a weird ending for him if he only played the first two games of the season, right? I mean, he wins the Super Bowl, he's named Super Bowl MVP, then he plays the first two games with the Eagles, they go 1-1, but he struggles, and then he kind of abruptly just goes to the bench. And rightfully so, I would have put Carson Wentz in immediately when he was healthy. It was just weird having a Super Bowl MVP just kind of sitting there on the bench abruptly in week three. And then what, he was just going to go to another team next year? I'm glad, especially for him, that he was able to raise his value in the offseason, because now there's going to be at least, what, four or five teams that want him as their starting quarterback next year? We're in a golden era of quarterbacks in the league right now, but Nick Foles is going to be a starter somewhere next year. Someone's going to pay him, and they're going to make him the face of their team. 100%. And I can't be more happy for the guy in that case, that he was able to, not only for the Eagles, win those three games to get into the playoffs and win a playoff game in two straight years. And just saying winning a playoff game in two straight years doesn't do it justice. The dude won a championship last year and then a playoff win this year. But it's good for him too, because who knew if he was going to get a starting chance if he didn't play down the stretch. If Wentz stayed healthy and played the entire season, I don't know if a team wants Nick Foles as their starter next year. I'm glad he got to finish it this year, and I'm glad he kind of was able to put a wrap-up on his Eagles career. Wentz is going to be the guy. We're going to talk about it this week, but I'm glad Nick Foles finished this 2018 season. This team will forever be one of my favorites. Again, it wasn't the storybook ending of 2017, but I don't know how you can't fall in love with the encore underdog story. You know, again, the trials and tribulations of this team. The Titans game, blowing a 4th-and-19. Corey Graham, never going to forget it. They lose that game, they're 2-3. Then they lose to Minnesota. They get to 500 with the Giants. They get back to 500 against the Jaguars. You know, after that devastating Panthers loss that I thought at the end of the season we were going to certainly look back and be like, how did we lose that game? That really cost us the season. The Cowboys' devastation, both games, Carson Wentz, the injuries. And yet this team was able to not just make the – like, they didn't just make the playoffs and beat a bunch of bad teams with a weak schedule down the stretch to make it. I mean, they beat a team in the Rams that's in the NFC Championship game right now, a Houston Texans team that was in the playoffs. They beat the Chicago Bears on the road in the playoffs, a number one ranked defense. I mean, this is a team, these two seasons that should have, I mean, when ESPN 30 for 30 comes in 5 years down the road and it's thinking about who they're going to make documentaries of or 10 years down the road, this two-year run of the Eagles, and who knows what's going to happen next year, but this run the Philadelphia Eagles are on right now, it is something that you don't even have to be an Eagles fan. Just as a sports fan, you have to appreciate the story. If you're an Eagles fan and you're right now, you're not more in love with this team than you've ever been, despite the heartbreak. Again, I feel like the heartbreak, for me personally, has made me appreciate this team even more. It was a hell of a season. And I wish we could be talking about playing the Rams next week. There's no way the Rams wanted to see the Eagles again. Although they'd be at home, and they probably think they could get back at them with a second crack at it. But this Eagles team, I wouldn't have wanted to play them. Coming off a win like this in New Orleans? No way. But look, I'm not satisfied with the end, but I'm very happy with how the season played out. I couldn't have asked for more after seeing what they went through this year. Couldn't be more proud of this team. They have such a bright future. Still so much talent on this roster. There's going to be some movement. There's going to be some player movement, some different guys. You know, again, I don't know if Jason Peters is going to be here next year. Nick Foles will not be on this roster. I can almost guarantee it. Brandon Graham might cash in somewhere else. Who knows if Tim Jernigan's a cap casualty. You know, Golden Tate might sign somewhere else in free agency. We'll see. Jason Kelce might retire, although for right now he says he's an Eagle, and he hasn't decided on his future. Playing football after there was a report this year that he was going to last week that he was going to retire. But this Eagles team is still set up to be a title contender, not just a playoff contender, a title contender like they were this year. They were competing for a Super Bowl this year. They had a legit chance. If they beat the Saints, I don't know if anybody was stopping this team. The NFL got lucky. The team, the people that did not want Nick Foles and this Eagles team in, they got lucky that the Saints beat them. Can't be more proud of the 2018 Eagles. Again, 2017 is going to be my favorite season of all time. Just, I mean, they won a Super Bowl. How can it not? But looking back on Eagles history, when we're talking about the memorable seasons, this is up there. It's right there with the just the storybook ending to the regular season, the playoff win, how the Bears missed a field goal to send the Eagles. Just, again, the magic. It wasn't just that the Eagles beat the Bears in the first round. It was that the Bears missed a field goal to win with regulation ending. With the game ending, the Eagles block the field goal and get to the second round. Hats off. Cheers to this Philadelphia Eagles team. Thanks to everyone that was listening to the podcast throughout the regular season. Myself and my co-host Gino Camilleri, we really appreciate all the support that you guys have had from the network. We've had so much fun from June and up until this point talking about this Eagles team that, look, I'm a media member of. I'm paid to talk about them, and it's my job to be critical and unbiased. But at the same time, I was born and raised a Philadelphia Eagle fan. I'm going to raise my kids to be Philadelphia Eagles fans. And I love this team, and I love doing this for you guys, and I appreciate everyone that's listened for this season. And I'm excited to get into the offseason with you. I'm excited to talk about free agency and the draft, and we're going to have an awesome, jam-packed offseason right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So I think that's going to do it for today's post-game show. The Eagles fall 20-14 in New Orleans. Thanks again to everyone for listening. Download the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, anywhere that you want to listen. Follow our Twitter accounts at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. For next time, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds, baby.